May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. Hymn 383. from God's holy word. Our readings are two portions. First of all, part of Exodus chapter 4, and then part of the Gospel according to John chapter 2. The book of Exodus chapter 4, and we read down to verse 23. Exodus chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." And he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do." And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And now we read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 2, down to verse 11. The Gospel according to John, chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Amen. May the Lord bless those portions of his holy word to our souls, and help his servant to pray.
most holy and eternal Lord God. We need thee now to solemnise our minds and our hearts as we gather to worship thee. Oh, we pray that we may be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that we may be enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, we pray that thou wilt shut the world out, Lord, and anything that would creep in to mar our worship. Oh, as we are favoured with the beautiful sunshine in the earth, we pray that in our souls we may know the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness with healing in his wing. O Lord, thou knowest those that have gathered that need that healing, both in their souls or maybe in body or in mind. O Lord, we pray that that healing virtue may be sent down to heal the festering sores of sin and to make us young again. Oh, we pray for thy sweet presence to be sweetly known and sweetly felt. O Lord, one of old said, what is the house to me unless the master there I see? Nor we would come desiring to see by faith no man save Jesus only. Nor may a precious Jesus be made very precious to our souls, and the one thing that is needful. O Lord, we come as a poor, needy sinner. And we need thee, Lord, to grant to us all needed grace to confess our many, many sins. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, may we be as true penitent sinners at thy dear feet, a begging and pleading for mercy. Oh, we would pray with the dear hymn writer, mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. We need, dear Lord, washing and cleansing from all sin and from all uncleanness, that we may be washed in that precious blood of Jesus, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. Oh, may we know its sweet cleansing power, and each burdened sin-sick soul this day have their pardon signed and their peace procured. O Lord, may we be clothed in that glorious robe of righteousness which thou hast wrought out. O Lord, we do need thee to draw near to each of our hearts and to visit us with thy salvation. Oh, do grant to us, dear Lord, that real religion thou dost give to thy people. May we be amongst those that are truly born of God, and that our treasure is above. O Lord, how we need that continual quickening by thy Spirit. For how soon we are lifeless and cold and dead and unconcerned. Oh, do save us from the vileness of our hearts. We pray that thou wilt work in us mightily thy grace and fear. May thy grace abound in us. O Lord, we need thee to keep us every moment, for we cannot keep ourselves. Oh, may we be tender and humble at thy dear feet, and ever be willing to be nothing, that a precious Jesus may be the one thing that is needful. Oh Lord, we seek for grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. We may ever be humble and tender at thy dear feet, desiring to know no will but thine. Lord, we pray for grace to be submissive to thy mind and thy will. One said, let me not murmur or repine under these trying strokes of thine. Oh, ever keep us, Lord, from murmuring or complaining. May we be given heavenly diligence to make our calling and election sure. To dry up the tears, Lord, of those that weep. Thou hast said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Knowest those that have many things to weep over. But oh, may the hour be hastened when they shall weep in joy. And O Lord, we pray for those that are in a low place, that thou wilt come and lift them up. But Lord, who can lift us up but thou? And thou knowest how low some of thy people sink, Lord. May they sweetly prove what the dear poet said, you'll never think you're sunk too low, if Jesus on you pity show. Oh, do give us that faith to believe, dear Lord. And oh, may all the unbelief within us be removed. May we be enabled to say with the hymn writer, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. O Lord, may we have a grain of that faith that is given to godly Abraham when he offered up Isaac. And oh, may there be within us that real living faith in exercise. Remember, dear Lord, those that are fearful. We pray thou wilt take away all their fears. And oh, may those that are tried and tempted be delivered from the tempter's power. Look upon all in affliction's pathway. We pray if it's thy will thou would heal them and restore them. But Lord, if it's thy will that affliction should abound, we pray for grace to bear it. Do bless the dear children, the little ones, Lord, and each of the young ones. Preserve and keep them in these evil days. May they have in their hearts wrought by thee some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. Oh, may they be weaned from this world and all its pleasures, and brought to desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. May there be many real seekers here, for thou hast promised that they that seek shall find. Remember those in middle age, Lord, with all the burdens and trials and difficulties of the journey. May they be given that maintaining grace. And, O Lord, do uphold them and help them. And hear the cries of thy people. And send down answers of peace. And we pray for our dear aged friends and those unable to gather. Remember them, Lord, in their weaknesses, their great age, and sweetly assure them that it is well while life endure, and well when called to die. May we each, dear Lord, be prepared for that great day, when flesh and blood shall fail. Oh, that we may be ready, waiting for thy coming, and be sheltering in thy wounded side till all the dangers of life and of death be overpassed. Who bless thy cause here, the church and congregation. We thank thee for all thou hast done for them and in them. And we pray that thou wilt go on, thou mighty God, thy wonders to make known, till every sinner bought with blood shall trust in thee alone. May there be an awakening of many in this village, and prodigals brought to return. And oh, may Zion be built up too, and our own flock at home. And may there yet be a time of real refreshing from the presence of the Lord, a time of real blessing from heaven. And Lord, do add to the churches daily such as should be saved, to our own flock and to thy people here. May there yet be a moving of the waters, and those that love thee be constrained to follow thee, and do remove, dear Lord, all that hinders. Bless the deacons and guide them and direct them, and give them that wisdom and grace, and bless the hymns they give out. May there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Who help thy dear servants as they preach thy word, and in all their pathway. Help thy servant with our own flock today. May be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Lord, do clothe thy word with divine power, and may it be food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. Remember those that were married in the week, Lord. We pray especially for them. And we pray that thy presence might go with them in their journey together. And, oh, do remember them at this time. May they have thy seal and blessing upon the marriage. And, oh, do remember, Lord, this guilty nation. We pray for thee to appear and to open the blind eyes of our leaders and rulers. Bring them to seek thy face and to serve thee. Save us from the evil and violent men and all that would seek to overturn this land and their Protestant heritage and constitution. Oh, do preserve it to us, dear Lord. And hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. Remember all in persecution and trouble and war and conflict, and those in famine. Oh, do appear for each one, Lord. Make bare thine arm and work. Remember those away from us here today, Lord, on holiday. We pray they may be refreshed in body and in mind and in soul, and take them each under the convoy of thy love and return them safely at the appointed time if it would please them. And we would praise thy holy name for all thy great mercies, unworthy as we are of them all. We would crown thee, Lord of all. Thou anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And, oh, do clothe the word with divine power. And may there be real fruit to follow. Forgive what we've uttered amiss and make up where we so fail. So we seek to fall into thy kind arms. Sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1060. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the ground, for now not without hope I mourn. There is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. Hymn 1060.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 5. The Gospel according to John, chapter 2 and verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The Gospel according to John, chapter 2 and verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. This was a very sacred and a blessed occasion at this marriage in Cana of Galilee. For one or two reasons. First of all, because the Lord Jesus was there. And what a difference it makes, not only in marriage, but too for us each continually, if we truly fear the Lord, how vital it is to have the presence of the Lord with us. The hymn writer said, didn't he, in thy presence I am happy, in thy presence I am secure, in thy presence all afflictions we can easily endure. But too, the first miracle was to be performed here by the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And they had no wine. And the mother of Jesus brought this to the Saviour, to the Lord Jesus. And we read this, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Of course, he was speaking of the great sufferings that were before him. But then we find the words of our text. The mother of Jesus saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. This dear mother of Christ was to be here, the Lord's messenger, with the Lord's message. And you know, I don't agree in any way with women preachers, and let's make that very clear to start with, but she was to be the Lord's messenger to these servants. And you know, when we think of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus, who was it that was to go and tell the disciples that Christ was risen? It was none other than Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She was to be the messenger. The vital thing is, you see, we can never be a messenger of the Lord unless the Lord gives us the message to deliver. And in trying to plead with the Lord that he give me a word to bring before you this morning, this word has rested so upon me all day yesterday. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And may the Lord help us to look into this a little. We think back in our own life and the exercise of the ministry, and I think back of those godly women that spoke to me so much concerning the exercise when I had not declared it to a soul, but the Lord had shown it to them. And they were to be the Lord's messengers to me regarding that exercise. And they watched for it to be brought to fruition. But I don't want to tarry upon that. We want to look at whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there's so many blessed records in the Word of God where the Lord commanded his dear people to do different things. But you see, what was so with me regarding this when the text came was this: in doing what she said to them, these servants were, and those at the marriage were, to be profited by it. And that is a very vital thing. So we see here really three things. Firstly, the message, what he gives to his dear people, the commandment. Secondly, the willingness to do it. And thirdly, the profit there is in doing it. Now you think of those three things, whatever you may be exercising today. Have we got the message from heaven, the commandment? Are we willing to obey that? And then what profit there is in it? Because you think of the case here before us. You know there was some wonderful profit in it, because those at this marriage and even the governor of the feast had never tasted such wine before. And in doing what he commanded these servants, and they were made willing to do it, to fill these water pots with water. They were obedient, you see. We read, don't we, in Paul's letter to one of the churches, be ye as obedient children. And what a joy it is to those of us that have children or had children and grandchildren to see them obedient. And think about it concerning if we're the children of God, you know, we need to be obedient to him, whatever he commands us. You may have wondered why we read in the lesson in Exodus this morning, and it seemed to so rest upon me last evening thinking on the text. You know, sometimes the Lord commands his dear people to do something and they say, Lord, it's impossible. We cannot do it. And it is to us by nature. But you think of Moses, what he was commanded by the Lord when he had that rod in his hand. And what was he to do? To be obedient to the Lord. And Moses did exactly what the Lord told him. And he cast it to the ground. And it became a serpent. And what did Moses do? And so do we. So often we flee from it, don't we? From what had taken place. And you can well understand naturally him fleeing from it. But what did the Lord command him to do? to take it by the tail. Well, naturally speaking, it's the most dangerous thing for us to do, ever, to take a serpent by the tail, because immediately it turn and rend you. But Moses had to do what the Lord told him, and he was to see here the wonders God alone can do, and the profit there was in it. Now think of those three things. First, the command. Secondly, the willingness in Moses. And thirdly, the profit there was in it. He saw the wonders God alone could do, couldn't he? That serpent was immediately turned back to a rod in the hand of God. And then, of course, he gave him a further command regarding putting his hand and into his bosom and how it was leprous. And then commanded him again to put it in, and it became as his other flesh. You see, the wonders God alone can do. You know, if you and I are dealing with the God of heaven, we're dealing with one who can do all things that are impossible with men. And Moses proved it, didn't he? What man could turn a rod into a serpent? What man could turn the serpent into a rod? But in doing what the Lord commanded him, there was profit in it. Oh, there was, just as there was here. But another case that rested, I want to prove this to you from the Word of God. You go to the children of Israel at the Red Sea. You know, I was thinking back when that dropped in regarding the children of Israel at the Red Sea. It was 49 years ago that the first chapter I ever read in this sanctuary was that beautiful chapter on the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And you know, I've never forgot it. And there are a few that have never forgot it also. But the point was this. Regarding those children of Israel, they had to do exactly what the Lord told them there. There they were, pursued by Pharaoh, trying to destroy them, the sea before them. What should they do? They murmured against Moses and against the path they were in, and so often we do, if we're honest. Oh, how soon we murmur and complain, don't we? But you know, the Lord was to use Moses as his messenger to the people. And the message that the Lord gave Moses to speak to them, first of all, when they were faced with the sea, faced with the enemies pursuing them and overtaking them, of Pharaoh's hosts. The message was this. First of all, and may the Holy Spirit whisper it to you and to me, because that was the text I had 49 years ago. Fear ye not. Now you know that was a wonderful message for them. You see, there may be those of you that have many things to fear today. And we're creatures of fear, aren't we? And we fear where no fear is. But the Lord was to give Moses this special message for them and commandment. The first thing they got to do, they hadn't got to fear. Fear ye not. They may say, well, you don't know what I'm in today, but may this be the message. Fear ye not. That was the first part of it. The second part of it was this. Stand still. It was a clear command given by the Lord through Moses to the people. They've got to stand still. Now, looking at it naturally, that would have been the hardest thing in the world for them to do. But there was a wonderful lesson in that, you know. And I remember the Lord teaching me this many years ago. They got to stand still. Because if for two reasons. Firstly, if they hadn't, they could fall right into the hand of the enemy. And I remember once being surrounded with enemies, and one felt in one's heart. And the Lord said to me, "Now stand still." And he showed me if I was to do this or do that and not stand still, I'd fall right into the hands of the enemy. Now you think of that today, I don't know, you may be surrounded by enemies within and without, and we are, aren't we? But stand still. But there was another blessed reason, and that was they got to watch for the Lord to work. They got to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. Now, it may be the hardest thing in the world for you to do today, poor soul, but if this is the message of heaven, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that's what they had to do. They had to stand still. And they got to watch for the Lord to work. I love that beautiful account of Manoah and his wife. What did they do? They looked on while the uncreated angel, the Lord Jesus, worked wondrously. Now that's what the children of Israel had to do there at the Red Sea. They had to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. He was to make the way. And what did the Lord do? He divided the sea, didn't he? So it was a wall to them on the right hand and a wall to them on the left. He overruled the law of gravity to deliver them. Because none of us here can get water to stand as a wall, is there? The Lord in the wonders of creation gave the law of gravity. Immediately water will fall when you try and get it to stand as a wall. Gravity will pull it down. But the Lord did that to deliver them, you see. And they got to stand still. They got to obey the commandment of the Lord, and the Lord made them willing to. And look at the prophet there was in it. He was to deliver them, not only from the hands of Pharaoh and his house, but to make a way through the sea. But two, they were to see the enemy dead on the seashore. Oh, they were. You know, it's one thing to see the way made, but another thing when we see even the enemies dead on the seashore. With men it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. Whatsoever. Don't forget the text. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. We think too of dear Ruth. You know, she'd been favoured to be brought out of Moab, brought to the field of Boaz and to glean there among the reapers. And then brought into the threshing floor to lie at the feet of Boaz, who was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. Oh, the favours there were upon her. But when she returns to her home, to Naomi, what does Naomi say to her? Naomi again was the messenger. The message came from God. A clear commandment. Sit still, my daughter. Why? Until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. And she had to obey that. It was hard, but she had to obey that. But she was to see the profit there was in, because the Lord was going to work. Oh, he was. And to appear for her and to provide for her. And oh, you think of that wonderful fourth chapter where she became his bride. The prophet there was in it. It's a precious word, isn't it? The Lord says he teacheth his people to profit. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when we are brought into trials and afflictions and troubles, and the Lord so sanctifies it and blesses it to our souls that there's profit in it to our never dying soul. We don't come out of it as we go into it. We come out profited by it. I remember reading, and some of you have read it no doubt, old Mr. Cooper's book at was pastor for 40 years at Lakenheath, and you know, if you read in there, and I've never forgot reading it, because I was laid ever so ill at the time, and when I started to get better a little, I felt I wanted to read, and I picked up this book, you know, of his life. And he said, as a pastor, he said, my great concern is, as I see my dear people come into trials, come into afflictions, come into troubles, he said, you know, I don't want them to come out of it as they entered into it. What I long for and pray for is they may come out of it profited by it. You see, if you take the case of Hezekiah, you look how he speaks of it in his song of deliverance, how the Lord profited him in all that trial. And what does he say? By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. And oh, you look at the profit there was in it, the blessing there was in it all. You know, nothing comes by chance, but what a mercy it is when we are profited by it. And really, this is all part of the Lord establishing his dear people in the truth and making them steadfast and unmovable. Now, I hadn't thought of taking this line, but, you know, it's a wonderful thing when there's profit in it, you know. He teacheth thee to profit. There may be things you're in today, you may say, whoever can good come out of it, he'll teach thee to profit. And what is it for? For the establishing of your soul, for your soul's blessing, the receiving the blessing from heaven, and for the honour and glory above everything. It's all for the honour and glory of God, because when the Lord teaches you to profit, your soul will be able to praise his blessed name. But to come back to this text, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It came very powerfully to me, thinking of the text this morning, you know, of Naaman, the Syrian. You think how leprosy was, full of leprosy. And the Lord was to use first a little maid to be the messenger to him. But there was a prophet in Israel, Elisha, that could command him what to do. And you know the king sent the letters to the king of Israel. And he went down there. And what did the Lord command him to do, Naaman, in all his leprosy? To go to Jordan and to dip 7 times in Jordan, and he would be healed. He rebelled against it. Why cannot I go down into the rivers of Syria? No, he must go to Jordan. And the Lord made him willing in the end to go, didn't he? And you know he was obedient to it. And you look at the prophet there was in it. When after that 7th time he comes up a clean man, washed from all his leprosy, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And he had to learn that lesson, didn't he? And it may be with us, and if nothing I preach it to myself, that's what we got to do. Listen to what the Saviour saith and seek for grace to do it and to be willing to do it. I love that word in Psalm 110. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, willing to do whatsoever he saith unto you. Do it. Be obedient to it, you see. But then we think too of Levi, Matthew. There he was at the receipt of custom and fulfilling that office, and there was much corruption, if we understand it aright, in that position he was in. And what did the Lord Jesus do? And we read, and after these things he went forth, Jesus did, and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. It was a clear command. Follow me. And then we see the willingness given by the Lord to the dear man. And he left all. He left all. You know, if we are to be real followers of the Lord Jesus, he will make us willing to leave all. And he left all. And there may be those of you seeking to follow him, and he left all. But that wasn't all. He rose up. How willing he was to rise from among those publicans. And he rose up and followed him. And oh, you look at the blessing there was to follow in the heart of that dear man. You say, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And look how willing the dear man was to leave it all. You know, the day's coming with you and with me None of us know how soon when we shall have to leave all what we have here. If I may just drop a personal note just briefly, I remember so clearly some years ago now in my early days before we were married, and I went to Chatham Chapel, and the old chapel there is now pulled down, and you know, I went there as a hearer, and the dear servant of God preached on this, leaving all to follow him. And you know, there were several things that I felt I couldn't leave. And, you know, as I journeyed to a friend's house there, the Lord so put it in my heart, Lord, do help me to leave them all. And, you know, when I got to that friend's house, I walked up the garden. And it's as real to me today as it was then, you know. As I walked up the garden, the Lord came. And he so filled my soul with his love. I was just immersed in the love of Christ. And you know, when we're really immersed in his love, we'll be willing to leave everything. And the Lord brought me to that point where I said, Lord, I can from all things, parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. I know we're not always there, you know. But oh, to be willing. And you know, the Lord made me willing to part with everything. I could leave it all. I put my arms up and I said, Lord, take me home to glory. Finish with the earth. Oh, to be there again. So think of this, the commandment. He rose up. He left all and he rose up and followed him. And how willing he was to obey that command. You see, such is the power that when the Lord speaks a commandment to his people, the power that accompanies it will make the sinner willing. He will make them willing. You know, the Lord's not bound to means nor places. And how he makes his people willing. There are two sides to it, really. Firstly, he may use severe means. The Lord has used them both with me in different times. He's put his hand on me in correction, in chastening, to make me willing to submit to his will and to do what he commands. And then there's the other side, which I have just named, where he is pleased to fill his dear children with his love and goodness and mercy so they're overwhelmed by it all to make them willing. You see, the Lord's a sovereign how he does it. But thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And that is it, you see, the power. The power of the correction, the chastening, and then the power of the blessing and the pardoning love and the love of Christ, you see, it'll make us willing. So he says, and the Holy Spirit has wonderfully recorded it. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, Do it. And you know, just before I leave it, this whatsoever can mean many things. Oh, it can. Just go back to the children of Israel, the Red Sea, and they must leave it. But you know, they hadn't always got a standstill. You know, I know people who say, oh, well, we've got to stand still in this matter. That may be just because they think they ought to stand still. It's a different thing in thinking we've got to stand still than receiving the clear commandment which the Lord gave those dear children of Israel to stand still. But they hadn't got to stand still all the time, had they? A few verses following, what do we read? The Lord said, I will fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. And then that beautiful word where the Lord said to Moses, say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. They've got to venture forward, you see. And there are a few ways that we can venture forward. Firstly, it may be you say, well, I cannot see my way to venture forward. How can you venture then? By faith, you see. It's a wonderful thing to venture by faith. The old preachers used to say that venturing faith was the strongest faith. Well, you take the case of the dear woman when she pressed through the crowds. It was a venture, wasn't it, of faith. I remember a dear lady at Ashwell many years ago now. She said to me, and she was so blessed on that particular Tuesday night when I preached. She said, you know, Pastor, I feel I've got to venture now. To follow my dear Redeemer. She said, but it's only a venture. A venture. And like the dear woman, she ventured forth, didn't she, to touch the border of his garment, believing that if she could touch, she would be healed. And the children of Israel, you see, they got to venture forward. Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. They hadn't always got to stand still. Now, I don't know where to name that, but you see, that's a wonderful thing, to venture forward. But then it may be a venturing under the clear commandment of the Lord that you go forward. And that's a sacred thing, you know, when the Lord tells you, go forward, sinner. Venture forward. I'll leave you with this word. If thou press on, the crowds will fly. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £705, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Timothy Barker will preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 861. Poor sinner, come, cast off thy fear, and raise thy drooping head. Come, sing with all poor sinners here, Jesus who once was dead. Hymn 861.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. Oh, may we not leave it on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the boy. Do take us each now under thy kind care and keeping. Be with us through the rest of the day and help us as we gather again this evening. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet command and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.